First Kings chapter number 14. And so let's stand together. We're going to read several verses here, and then we'll be seated. We've been preaching through First Kings, and we talked about that man of God there in chapter 13 last week. And so we're at chapter 14, verse 1. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah, the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people. And take with thee 10 loaves." Why does everybody always think the preacher can be bought with food? That's why I'm in the condition I'm in right now. "And take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey, and go to him. He shall tell thee what shall become of the child." And Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be, when she cometh in, that she shall feign herself to be another woman." And it was so, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said, "Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee, for thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam." Skip to verse number 12 for sake of the parents that are in here tonight. "Arise, thou therefore, get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave. Because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord shall raise him up a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day, but what even now." And it wasn't long before that king, we'll see him down the road, but it wasn't long before that king was the one that cut off the name of Jeroboam. And then the Lord's going to give a prophecy here of the Assyrian captivity. He says, "For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin and who made Israel to sin." And Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. And when she came to the threshold of the door, the child died. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by the hand of his servant Ahijah the prophet. And I want to preach tonight on this subject: when the chickens come home to roost. When the chickens come home to roost. Let's pray together. Lord, would you bless your word tonight? And I pray, God, that you'll speak to our hearts. Challenge us tonight in some particular area. Help us to get right with you where we need to get right, confess sin and forsake it. Help us, Lord, to get focused in a right way as a Christian, as a child of God. And God, tonight we'll thank you in advance for what you'll do, and we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated if you keep your Bible open there. In fact, turn back a couple of chapters and we'll see how that, when Rehoboam made bad choices and God split the nation of Israel and left Rehoboam with the two tribes in the southern kingdom of what was called Judah. But at that point, he gave Jeroboam to be king. He exalted Jeroboam to be king over the northern kingdom of of Israel. In fact, this preacher, this prophet, Ahijah, that he sends his wife to go see, he's the one in chapter 11 that actually told Jeroboam that God's going to make you king. Look at chapter 11 and verse 29. It came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment, and they two were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, "Take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee." And in our text there, Jeroboam actually told his wife, "Go see Ahijah, the one that told me that I would be king." Now, rather than leading in righteousness, Jeroboam led in rebellion to the God of heaven. And we saw that in chapter 12. We've already been through there. But just for example, in verse 28, "Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, 'It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.'" Okay, so he led Israel in rebellion and compromise. So in chapter 13, God sent a preacher. We know it couldn't have been Ahijah because in chapter 13, this man of God, remember last week, man of God was mentioned 15 times. But remember we talked about, can you stand on your own 2 feet, even if someone else falls into sin or quits or whatever. And so God sends this particular man of God in chapter 13 to preach repentance to Jeroboam. But even after chastening, Jeroboam refused to get right. And it says it in chapter 13. And verse number 33, and this, after this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people, priests of the high places, whosoever would, he consecrated him. And he became one of the priests of the high places. Okay, so I would say tonight, thank God for chastening, because even though it's not fun, thank God we have a Heavenly Father who wants to get our attention. And he tried to do that with Jeroboam, tried to get his attention through preaching, tried to get his attention through, remember, his hand drying up, and tried to get him to turn from his wicked ways, but he would not do it. And so now, as we enter into chapter number 14, the chickens are coming home to roost. Abijah, Jeroboam's son, gets extremely sick. I tried to find an age to see if this was an older son or a teenager, a kid, or a baby, and I couldn't find it personally anywhere. Maybe you can tell me later if you've seen it somewhere, but I don't know what his age was. But does it really matter? No parent should have to bury a child. And it doesn't matter what age they are. So Abijah, Jeroboam's son, gets extremely sick. Now I want you to notice this. Now Jeroboam needs God. Now Jeroboam needed his prayers to be answered. Now Jeroboam, if you will, needed a pastor, needed a preacher. In verse number 1, there in chapter 14, at that time Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick, and Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam. Get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people. And take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey, and go to him. He shall tell thee what shall become of the child." And Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose, went to Shiloh, came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. Okay, so now Jeroboam needed God, but unfortunately, I mean, God had chastened him. God had tried to get his attention, and now it was too late. I mean, it was time for the chickens to come home to roost. It was time to pay the price for his sin and his rebellion against God. When I read those first few verses, I think of things like this: what a coward. Why didn't this man up, go directly to the preacher, directly to the prophet, and say, listen, I know I'm a sorry old dog, and I know that I've led in sin, but I'd do anything possible to save my child's life right now, and I want to humble myself before God, and I want to get things right with God. No, he doesn't do that. He has a horrible relationship with a man of God, if you will, and so he says, listen, you're probably not going to get any good tidings if he knows you're my wife, so I want you to disguise yourself somehow, some way, and I want you to go fake it too. It reminds me of people that pull up here to the church and need money and need things, and I can't tell you, 9 times out of 10, some coward is sitting in his vehicle making his wife go up and knock on the door, and if I see that, I'll say, who is that in the vehicle? And it said, well, that's my husband or my boyfriend. I said, well, go get them and let's talk and see what you need. I mean, this guy is a coward to send his wife to do this. Now, he sent his wife to have to try to fake out the man of God. And she might have succeeded in faking out the man of God. But remember this, you cannot fake out the God of the man. You can lie to the preacher. Well, you know, we weren't there because I had that shift. Well, God knows if you're at work or not. Well, we weren't there, you know, because we just weren't feeling good. Well, the whole family had to stay home just to blow that poor kid's nose. I mean, God knows the way we're really living. And so she thought, well, the preacher's half blind, so we'll show up and fake him out, and he'll never know. But in verse number 5, the Bible says, the Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be when she cometh in that she shall feign herself to be another woman. So I don't know what the lady did. The Bible doesn't tell us, but man, I don't know how she dressed herself up, fixed herself up, but somehow, some way, she thought, I'm going to fake this guy out. He can't half see anyway, so he's going to think I'm someone else, and I guess just ask for her child in general. You know, I don't know, but verse 6, it was so that when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet. Must have been a heavy woman. But it was so when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door. Could you imagine? She went through all that trouble to disguise herself. And he hears, tap, 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 tap. And maybe she knocked on the door. And he said, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. So God's man proceeds to tell her that her child will die and that God will eventually cut off all of the house of Jeroboam. He reminds Jeroboam of what God had entrusted him with and how Jeroboam abused the privilege and will pay the price. He says in verse 7, go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee, for thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger and hast cast me behind thy back. So God entrusted Jeroboam with much, and I don't have to remind us on Thanksgiving week how much God has blessed us with and trusted us with, and he expects us to be faithful to him. So he says to her in verse number 12, arise thou therefore, get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die. Could you imagine that agonizing walk home? My wife and I were talking about this yesterday. She said, I would have never gone home. I mean, I don't know what would have happened. She said, how could you if you know that when you as mama show up at the house, your child's going to die? I think that most likely she walked as slowly as possible. In verse number 17, the Bible says that Jeroboam's wife arose and departed, came to Tirzah. When she came to the threshold of the door, the child died, and they buried him. The chickens were coming home to roost. Now, The chickens coming home to roost has a negative meaning. And it certainly was negative in this chapter. When you use that phrase, the chickens are going to come home to roost, it's negative in its own sense. But I want to remind us tonight, if we do good, we're going to receive good. And if we do bad, we're going to receive bad. And the scripture is in Galatians 6, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Okay, so I want to take this thought tonight, and I want to challenge us to pay close attention to some particular areas in our life. Because one day the chickens will come home to roost, good or bad. I was talking with my wife the other day about, I had been dealing with something with her First Monday stuff. And there was a trailer we had to deal with. And I went and looked in the trailer there in Canton. And I came back and I said, I looked at that trailer to see, you know, what all it was. I said, I went ahead and put some WD-40 in the locks and on the hinges so it makes it easier. And she said, I love that about you. You went to just go open up a trailer and you wind up fixing it for somebody. And I said, well, here's what I don't understand. I don't understand why could somebody go unlock something 42 times and struggle with it instead of stopping to fix it the first time. And I said, there are a lot of people that live their life that way. And it's very practical, but they'll live their life that way. You know it's broken at your house, but rather than fix it, you'll let it get worse. You know that your vehicle's wearing out, but rather than stopping and checking the tires or checking the oil or whatever. And I'm saying to you, if we neglect things in our life, and I'm going to be about to give you some areas, but if we neglect it and say, oh yeah, I got to fix that one day. And I understand money is a factor. I'm right there with you. I understand time is a factor. I'm right there with you. I have a lot of projects at my house that I need to get to. But you know what I'm saying also, if we live our life, well, one of these days, chickens are going to come home to roost. Okay, let me give you some areas, and maybe some areas you wouldn't even think about. It's just what the Lord laid on my heart tonight, and so that's what I'm going to give you. I think I have about five areas tonight before the Dayquil wears off, and so let me give these to you, okay, where the chickens are going to come home to roost, either good or bad. We want good out of it. Number one, they will come home to roost on your friendships. They will come home to roost on your friendships. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 and verse number 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now listen to the definition of the word friendly. The definition tonight of the word friendly is this: having the temper and disposition of a friend. Okay? If you want a friend, be a friend. But I want to say to all of us tonight, and I don't believe God wastes your time or mine, so when God gives me something, I think we need it. But I want to just remind us tonight, don't use and abuse your friends. If you're not careful, you'll use and abuse your friends with your mouth. You'll surround yourself with your friends, and you'll let everybody know how great you are and how sorry they are. Or you'll abuse your friends with your moods because they want to get together and fellowship and have a good time, but you've got some out of control drama in your life. Our friends should not have to put up with us. Our friends should be able to enjoy our presence. If you want friends, be a friend. If you want to be alone, be a sorry friend. But no matter what kind of friend you are, the chickens are going to come home to roost. Because if you're a good friend, you're going to have some good friends in your life. And I'm a pastor, of course, and can't have just, you know, best friends. But I have people that I really trust in and I really love and I enjoy being around, spending time with because I want to be friends. They're worth being friends with. They're not high maintenance. And you know what I'm saying tonight. There are people that in your life that are just enjoyable to be around. But if you're one of those friends that you call all your friends together to tell them how great you are, and you're one of those friends that, I mean, everybody in the room is going to pay the price because your mood that day, Listen to what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We need friends in our life. I'm not going to read it for sake of time, but you go read in Esther chapter 5, and many of us in here know the story of Haman. Haman was a sorry friend. Man, if I get together with friends, I want to have a supper together, have a lunch together, or if we want to play some cards or play a game or something, or maybe watch a football game or whatever for a little while, that's fine. I want to leave my friend's place and be as happy, at least as happy as when I got there. And I want to be as relaxed as when I got there. And if you've got one of those friends that makes everybody around them pay the price, man, you leave there going, I wish I would have never shown up tonight. And man, what kind of mood was that? And I'm telling you, if that's the type of friend you are, the chickens are going to come home to roost when you look up one day and you have no friends and no one that wants to come to your house. Well, oh, Haman, remember him? He brings in all his friends. It's silly. Go read it in Esther 5. He brings in all his friends to tell him how great he is. And to tell, no one got invited to the supper, the queen's supper, except for me. Well, yeah, dingbat, because they're going to kill you. But no one, and you go read it, and I forget the words, but he comes to tell him of all his glory and his riches and his this and his that. You know, you've been around people like that before. Whole time you're around and they're bragging about what all they can do and what all they have and what all they've accomplished. And a lot of times, unfortunately, people do that by putting down others. Well, I know, you know, some people, I just don't, you know, and I don't do it this way and that way. I'm telling you, this is a very simple thought here tonight, but the chickens are going to come home to roost on your friendships. The great example of a friend was the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Now, there's no replacing that. That is a gospel scripture right there, but there is application to it. To a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You don't use and abuse your friends, man. You be a friend to your friends. What can I do to help you? What can I do to be there for you? What can I do to encourage you? You don't bring people together and put them in a room. Maybe some of you had to endure this at Thanksgiving, but you don't put people together in a room to let them know of your greatness. Because they're not going to be in that room next year, okay? All right, the chickens will one day come to home to roost on your friendships. Secondly, this one's just quickly, but just in passing, but the chickens will one day come home to roost on your foes, on your foes. The Bible says this in Romans 12 and verse number 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Okay, my wife was good at teaching our kids as they were growing up, follow after the things which make for peace. I'd be saying slap them. She'd be saying follow after the things which make for peace. Thank God for your moms, other than some of you mean ones who would say slap them. But dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The chickens will come home to roost on your foes. We don't have to live our life defensively. We don't have to live our life with someone else's destruction as our hope. We just have to leave everything up to God. Very simple, very quick point. Leave it with the Lord. Don't live with anger in your heart. Don't live with bitterness in your heart. Definitely, as a child of God, do not live hoping for someone else to have to pay the price. And boy, one day they're gonna this. You leave all that in the hands of the Lord, and you live at peace with people. You may not be their best friend. Let's be honest, you may not even like them, but you ought to be able to go up and shake their hand and just be friendly in passing. You don't have to sit down and have a steak dinner with them. You don't have to have them over at your house. Someone that has crossed you or your family or whatever really caused trouble in your life, but too many Christians today are living with bitterness and hatred and living with this and fighting online, and I just can't wait to get back at them, and their day is coming. That is not the way a child of God is supposed to live. Christ forgave us, and we're to forgive others. Okay, let me give you a third one here. A third one, and really, all of these could preach. They're just the points the Lord laid on my heart for this week as I was studying that passage and trying to seek, you know, what direction to go in. But I think this one is fitting for this time of year. I normally preach a message on this time of year, but the chickens will one day come home to roost on your finances. The Bible says, and boy, Proverbs is full of scripture about finances, but I just want to read you one. The Bible says in Proverbs 21 and verse 5, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteous, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. There's a lot that's said in that. Hasty means you didn't think about it, you just did it. The thoughts of the diligent, they're focused on their finances. They think about their finances. They study their finances. And it says they tend only to plenteous. Now, that word plenteous doesn't mean, man, I'm going to be a millionaire. The Bible says that they that will be rich will fall into many temptations and snares and over there in 1 Timothy. But plenteous means this. My bills are paid. Plenteous means, you know what? I've got some shoes on my feet. I've got a place to sleep. We've got some groceries in the refrigerator. We don't have to have what they have, and we don't have to have all that money. I just need to get by. But there are many people today not getting by because they are reckless with their finances, and the chickens are going to come home to roost. And I've tried to teach my kids as they grew up, and especially in their high school years, and even in their adulthood now, and when they ask, I try to give them advice. And Josh is still in college, so I still will try to direct him and help him and teach him that, you know, and he's good at it. He's very frugal like his mama is, but, well, for the most part, you know, McDonald's is only like $2, but when you go 14 times in a day, it starts adding up. But anyways, but I'll say, Josh, I've got their accounts on my app. And so, and you say, well, you should, they're adults now. But I helped them get in cars. I helped them get in college. I helped them. I'm going to help them until they're married. I'm going to help them along the way. That's not daddy being, that's just dad. And guess what? That helps too when a boy's in college and we're talking on the phone. He says, hey, dad, I'm going to get to go down to Alabama for Thanksgiving, and her dad's going to let us. And by the time we get done with the phone call, I say, all right, Josh, I said, man, hey, I just transferred $75 to your account to help you with fuel. If you're not coming home for Thanksgiving, that's probably the amount of rolls he would eat. So I said, you know, I help you out. So it helps. It's not just dad watching what I don't do that. I treat them like adults, but I do say, now, Josh, remember, you got a school payment coming up. That Crown College, it's not cheap at all. Over $7,000 a semester. And so, I said, man, you need to remember that, you know, in January, you'll have a $3,000 down payment and this and that. And folks, we need to learn how to handle our finances, man, when we're young. When we're young. I just wrote down a few tips here again. I love the finance thing. I think a credit score could be a joke. I really do, because it can change so quickly on you. But my wife and I both have high 800s in credit scores. I mean, I've paid off vehicles. Our house paid off. We've done different things, and now I'm looking ahead to, okay, what can we do for retirement in the future? That's what the whole dog business is about. It's not about getting rich. We ain't getting rich off those barking little stinking things. But if we could use that to put a little money back for retirement, you say, well, what if you drop dead? Then my wife has it. Well, what if y'all both drop dead? Then my kids can have a little bit of it. What if the Lord comes back? Wonderful. I don't care. Bury it in the backyard. Let some sinner dig it up one day with a metal detector. It's only going to be like $10 anyways, but I think finances are important, and I think that people live in misery. I understand it's expensive to live. I feel sorry for you young adults because of the price you have to pay just for rent or to find a house. But listen to me, God knew you would live in this day and age. And someone said it on our Tuesday night testimony service. Forget who said it, but listen, if I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread, I think that still applies in 2023 and in 2024. But the thing is, I was thinking about the Great Depression, and some in here, I guess you wouldn't have lived in it, but your parents would have lived in it, some of you older ones, and they understood what it was like to save. And so we complain today because we can't get that $700 a month vehicle or that $2,500 a month house, and yet we have Starbucks and we have cable TV and we have data plans on our phones and we got to get every new smartphone and we've got to have brand new furniture to impress everyone. And I'm saying to you, man, we need to get together financially. We need to get it together because the chickens are going to come home to roost. I just wrote down a few tips there. Number one, work. Work. If you're retired and you can live on Social Security, man, thank God for that. You should not feel guilty at all about you. Say, man, I sit around my house, I don't do much anything. Do not feel guilty at all. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that day. But I'm talking to young adults and teenagers. Learn to work while you're young. I'm one of those that just believes our teenagers shouldn't be going and getting jobs where they have to clock in and clock out, where they have to miss stuff and miss church and miss youth activities and miss. I'm not for that. I think they need as much church as possible. But you can get side jobs. By the way, you don't have to get paid to learn as a teenager to be a worker. Your parents are paying a lot of bills. Get in there and help wash those dishes. Learn how to vacuum that floor. Learn how to make your own bed. Learn how to separate your own laundry. Learn how to do some laundry. And parents, they're not going to learn if mom and dad don't make them get in there and put the tablet down for a while, turn the TV off for a while, and your chores today are going to be laundry, and your chores are going to be drying the dishes. I think you need to have a work ethic. I'm not trying to offend people, but I'm so tired of hearing about people that are in their 20s and 30s and 40s being on disability. And I'm not talking about if you really, you know what I'm saying. I'm Sunday night crowd, you're our crowd, but I'm not talking about you legit. But man, we got a disability for everything that'll give us money these days. And then we got to go get us a dog to keep our emotions stable. Or an alligator. Or a pony. I love it. I walked through the store the other day. It said trained, what do they call those dogs? Not the emotional support, but the real ones. What? Service dogs, trained service dogs allowed. Emotional support animals not allowed. You say, I don't like that. It's just my opinion. I'm telling you, it's my opinion. But so I need emotional support. Here's my emotional support right here. The Bible. My emotional support is my wife. My maybe if she dies before me, I'll go get me a dog or something. And then, you know, I'm getting rid of all animals. If she leaves before me, she's leaving with all the animals. And so, but folks, listen, whatever happened to just work? If mom and dad, if both of you choose to work, that's fine. That's your business, okay? But that is your choice. Don't put down the ones where mama stays home, because my wife and I have always tried to live on one salary, and she makes some income on the side here and there, and thank the Lord for that. And as your kids get older, some of your wives can do that. Don't get on them right now if you got a baby at home. Don't guilt them into, well, you're not making anything, and she's doing more work than you're doing. And that's coming from a dad of a lot of years now, okay? But if you choose to go out and stick your kid with a babysitter and let them raise them while you work, that's your business. That's between you and the Lord. But you can live on one income if you want to. You can. If you choose to, okay? But man, we need to work. How are we going to get our finances together if we don't work? The chickens will come to home to roost on our finances. So work. How about tithe faithfully? I tithe, my wife tithes, my kids tithe. I believe it's a command of God that we tithe. What about a budget? You can't just take it in and spend it and take it in and spend it, take it in and spend it. You need to know where that money's going. When someone tells me, well, next Friday we're going to get paid, so next Friday we'll take care of that youth camp fee, it's like, well, they don't budget. There's no budget there. They're just taking the next check and spending it on whatever's important at the moment. And we can all do things differently. And everyone, I'm probably archaic with some of the ways. I still use a checkbook and all that kind of stuff. But folks, listen, I've got a spreadsheet and it says December and has every single one of my bills, including my tithes and missions and bus and building and groceries and all those things. And every month before the new month begins, I sit and I have to, all right, this is the day I get paid. This is what's due. And it's written out and I don't have to stress it. It's just when I get paid, I know what's due. I pay them. We're blessed to have a lot of stuff online now. Just pop, 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 pop. And it's over with and it's done. But you're not ever going to have good finances if you don't budget. Live within your means. Live within your means. Most of our stuff for many, many, many years of marriage was yard sale stuff. That's where we got it. Okay, so don't think you got to go out just because you see your cousins or your brother or sister, whoever, during the holiday season. Don't think you got to go out and spend all kinds of crazy money to go, you know, well, there's no payment, no interest for 10 years. Yep, and you know what you're going to do? You'll pay those minimum payments, and one day the chickens are going to come home to roost. Live within your means. Don't live off of others. You listening? I understand being a help every once in a while. I understand being a blessing. My parents are good. They're givers. In fact, I have to tell them a lot to stop giving money to people in church because they're constantly wanting to be a help and to be a blessing to others. And from time to time, they're a blessing to my brothers and myself. But you didn't get married to live off someone else. I realize there are grandparents here that love to keep kids, but do not use and abuse your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, your mom, your dad. My wife's mother, Rita, was a great, great grandmother here, country grandmother, and was a blessing to my grandkids and to my kids and to some of her other grandkids here in the church. But I tell you what, man, I made a rule. We are not abusing. We're not abusing Mimi. One thing I can't stand, and maybe tonight's message is full of opinions, but one thing I can't stand is to watch parents allow their little kids to go to the grandparents and say, I want to go home with you. And then mom and dad say, they really want to go home with you. Like, no, no, no. Do not put your parents on the spot like that. And what with Mimi, I had a rule. Like, no, no, no. You're not going up asking Mimi to leave. Mimi's married. Mimi has a husband. Mimi has a life. And yeah, every once in a while. But I didn't get married and produce kids for my parents or her parents to keep my kids every day. I wasn't big Mr. Big Britches that could go to the altar so that someone else could pay my rent. So I'm not talking about help. We all want to help one another from time to time. I hope you understand the idea of that. But any of you in here that are in a rush to get married, you make sure you can take care of a home. You make sure you can pay some bills. You don't do those things and say, look at me, man, I'm married. Look at me. I've got kids. And then you're constantly needing rent money. You're constantly borrowing cars. You're constantly leaving the kid with the parents or the grandparents. And you say, oh, we're making it. Well, are you? Are you? Now, I'm not putting a wedge between parents and grandparents tonight, because again, some love to do that. I'm saying, though, consider your ways. Take care of your finances. Live within your means. Don't live off of others. Another thing we can learn about our finances is be patient. Be patient. You don't have to have it right now. Well, but right now it's Black Friday. Well, now it's Black Month, right? Everything's on sale all month long. Oh, but I mean, look at it. But yeah, but do you need it or is it just going to sit in your building? Be patient. Prioritize. Plan ahead. And make smart decisions. Make studied decisions. I've made some stupid decisions over the years with finances. I don't mind telling you that. But man, I'm telling you what, as your kids begin to get older, you start thinking more about, okay, they've got to get them ready for a vehicle. We've got to get them ready for college. We've got to get them ready for, man, they need braces and they need this and they need that. And you can't just live, those that just live for the moment, we got our paycheck. We're going to spend half of it at Walmart, the other half at Taco Bell, and then we ain't got no rent money. You got to get it together financially. So young adults, young teenagers, young couples, I would encourage you right now. The rest of us, there just has to be a stopping point. Some of you are going to get tax returns here in the next couple. Uncle Biden's going to send you some money. And you have a perfect opportunity. Perfect opportunity to get ahead or pay down on some debt. I'm not perfect with finances. I'm not. Believe me, I'm not. But I have always, always lived with the idea, if someone gives me money and they don't tell me where it has to go, it's going towards bills. If you're a grown adult and you're like, this is my $30. And your mindset is not towards, hey, if I can help buy some groceries, if I can help pay the electric bill, I just paid my wife's car off two years early. My focus is not on me. My focus, this is mine. That's why I like gift cards, because you can't pay bills with it. You just go get something, right? I got so much coffee gift cards. I'm going to be drowning in coffee, all right? They're going to have to just roll up to Pony Express over here, ask for the Jeremy. It'll be there, okay? It's going to be a large, hot vanilla latte every time. You know the chickens could come home to roost on your finances, right? If you're being reckless. Well, I need a new gun. No, you need to pay rent. Well, no, I need a new cell phone. I mean, they got the SSS 2342. As long as my phone's still starting. I thought I had an old phone. It was an S10 until I saw my parents' phone. It was an S7. Abraham used that phone. They had to get new phones. I had to get a new phone 6 months ago or so. Something happened with my other one. I hate change. I hate it. I can't figure out all this computer. When Brother Greg and I were at A&M, there was one person in our dorm on our floor that had a desktop computer. There were no laptops. There were no tablets. And, I mean, as a preacher's son at A&M, if there were, all I could afford was an Etch-a-Sketch. Right? I couldn't do all that stuff. So I got right on the end. You said, well, you can learn. Yes, you can learn. I just don't want to. There are plenty of other people that can do that stuff for me. So, but some people have that mindset. Well, you know, the new phone is out. I got to have it. Why? Why? Well, I ain't had a new dress in 6 months. So? This is going to be ugly. I'm telling you ahead of time, okay? Why not work on fitting back into that one that's in the... I told you ahead of time, all right? That is coming from a fat preacher, okay? So it... Me too. I'm right there with you, okay? I'm just trying to get you to think. If we'll do right with our finances, and I know, I understand things could happen. You could lose a job. You could lose a job. You could have health issues. You could have a spouse that has health issues. I'm no dummy. You know what I'm saying. I'm talking to the crowd that does not want to work, that will not get out of bed, that keeps calling in. Get to work. Get to work. Get to work. By the way, get to church also. But then you got to get a budget, and you got to live within your means, and you'll thank God for that down the road when you start making a little more, but you already have it under control. If you don't get it under control, the Bible says if you don't get it under control with that which is least, you're never going to be faithful in that which is much, okay? So, all right, let me give you a couple more here. This is I think is the most important one here tonight. Chickens are going to come home to roost on your family. Chickens are going to come home to roost on your family. Invest in your children, and you'll have a good relationship with your children. Now, right now at this moment, I don't care if they go to church or not. What I care about is that you have a good relationship with your kids. And there are some of you that your kids don't go to church right now. They know better, but they don't go to church right now. But I can tell when I'm around you, they love you, and they respect you, and they have a good relationship with you. But all of us need to be reminded, if we make no time for them, one day they're going to make no time for us. Invest in your children. I love my kids. I have a good relationship with my kids. Sarah is more like me. Josh is more like his mom. Sarah and I have the sweet spirit of the family. We're very forgiving. Now, I wasn't a perfect parent, still not a perfect parent, but I invested in my kids. Invest in your kids. But can I stop and say this? One day your kids are going to be gone out of the house, okay? Out of the house. One time at a ladies' retreat, this was years ago, had a missionary lady that said, You know, ladies, my wife told me about this, something like this. I never quote it word for word, but said something like this. You know, ladies, you're going to be so busy raising your children that when they leave the home one day, you're going to look across the living room at that husband and you're not even going to know one another. No, 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 no. You're out, you're off balance and you're out of whack if that's the case. That was not good teaching at all. So I want to say tonight, invest in your marriage. Outside of your relationship to Christ, there is not a more important relationship than your marriage relationship. Husbands, love your wife. Invest time and effort into your wife. Build that relationship. Wife, love your husband. Respect your husband. Encourage your husband. Let him lead. Work alongside your husband. Don't work against your husband. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 and verse 22, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Good marriages don't happen by mistake. If we're going to have a good marriage, first of all, we have to grow up. Get rid of the Cinderella syndrome. And it's supposed to be perfect, and it's not perfect. Marriage is not perfect. If we're going to have a good marriage, we're going to have to give up. You say, what do you mean give up? We're going to have to give a little. Things aren't always going to be our way. Can I give you a good example of that? I was talking to someone recently about this and how that, you know, when you first get married, you almost immediately, and I don't know any couple that hasn't had it, but you almost immediately have the holiday debate. Where do we go and when? Because mom's always had it this day, and it's always been this day. And man, I appreciate my parents because Thanksgiving was one year at their house, and the next year at the in-laws' place. And that's the way it's always been. Of course, my in-laws are in heaven now, and so we had it at our place this year. That is very unfair. And I'm not preaching this because I know anything about anybody in here, but that's very unfair to say, no. It's always been at mama's. It's always been at grandma's. It will always be. It's very unfair to treat it like that. Maybe I'm just full of a lot of opinion tonight, so you can take it for what it's worth, but we got to give a little. Well, mama's always expected us there on Christmas morning. Well, let me say to all the mamas and grandmas that's in here, you got to give a little also. You got to give a little also because those parents maybe want to be home with their kids on Christmas morning. And you know what I'm saying, truth, even though I'm not trying to rile you up. I'm just saying, you know, a lot of marriages have stress and battles this time of year they shouldn't have because they're having it over what everybody else expects them to do. What needs to happen is we need to honor mom and dad. You'll never go wrong honoring mom and dad, but she and I need to agree, and then that's what we're going to do. It's not, well, everything for her parents or everything for mine. By the way, since this is just a message with a lot of opinion in it, let's not be all woo, woo, woo at our family deal, and then it was like, well, we got to go to your mom's now. I told Kelly the other day, I said, you can't be like that. I mean, my parents love you. My parents love you, and they want to. No. If we're going to have a good marriage, we have to grow up a little bit, quit thinking everything has to be our way. We're going to have to give up. We're going to have to give a little. We're going to have to give up some immaturity, give up some, well, it always has to be like. And then guess what? If we're going to have a good marriage, we have to get up. You say, what do you mean? Get out of that recliner. Well, I thought when you get married, I'm not talking about you guys have been married since Abraham and Sarah were married, but this is what happens to people. They think, well, man, I can't wait to get married. I love you. I love you too. The heart's all floating. And then you get up here. It's like, do you take them? Do you take? I do. I do. I do. I do. He goes home. She's like, can we go somewhere? Like, no, I'm not talking about some of you that got married later in life. My wife's a little bit younger than me, and I remind her of that all the time. Like, I want to go to bed at 9 o'clock at night, and I don't want to hear about it. And I don't want to hear from my kids about it either. Just about done. I started to go to bed the other night, and I said, well, what I'll do is I'll sit on the couch there, relax for a little bit. When I work, I work. When I'm at the church or wherever, man, I'm going to work hard. And then, but when I crash at night, I'm crashing. And man, I don't want to think. So normally I want to watch something that'll make me laugh or whatever. Something I don't want to think. But we see, if I see Hallmark on the screen, I'm throwing a shoe at the screen, okay? So the other night I said, well, mom was out dealing with the dogs out there and feeding the dogs. And I said, well, Sarah, I'm heading for my room. She's like, Dad, it is 7:25. I said, well, it takes me a while to get ready. I need to take a shower. I'm going to relax. I need to study a little bit. But at the end of the day, mind your business. Okay, so, but we do. So think about that seriously. We've had a little fun tonight, but think about it seriously. Are you working on your marriage? Maybe you need to go on a date. If you really care, you'll take your wife Christmas shopping, okay? Yes, if you really care. I did it last night. I did. I took her, and I dropped her off at the front door. And I said, all right, you go in Hobby Lobby. If you have trouble, call me. I'm going to go across the street and wash my truck. But I took her, okay? So God wants you to have a good marriage, okay? If your marriage theme is he that endureth to the end, you need to do some work on it. Are we clear on that? Love your kids. I love my kids. They love me. And man, I spent time with them. But it was not the sacrifice of, well, one day me and her will get all caught up. No. We've had some arguments over the years. We've had great time over the years. But it's something you just have to keep working at. Yeah. Last one is chickens are going to come home to roost one day on your faith. On your faith. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law, we talked about truth this morning. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Do things God's way and watch what God will do along the way. God's blessed my life. You do things opposite of God's word in one day, you could be taking that long walk that Jeroboam's wife took. All the way home, she had to be thinking, how in the world did it come to this? When we were talking about truth this morning, I used that verse, and I believe it's 1 Timothy 1:5, where Paul says to Timothy, the unfeigned faith that's in thee, that dwelt first in your mother and in your grandmother. And I just want to say tonight that the kids are the ones that will pay the price for a fake faith in the life of a mom and dad. If you're just playing church, the kids are going to pay the price. But I want to say also, they'll reap the blessings of an unfeigned faith in the home. Now, Miss Audra and I have had to make our own blessings and have the hand of God on our life because of being obedient to Him. But there is no doubt about it, man. I got a head start because I had parents that were faithful to God. And if you had a mom and dad or one or the other that was faithful to the Lord, why in the world would you stomp all over those blessings? You ought to thank God for that and take it a step further in your life. But I believe that book. And I believe if I'm obedient to God, God will bless my life. If I'm disobedient to God, God's going to chasten me. And so Jeroboam thought, well, I can live like the devil, and we'll just fake it, and we'll take the old preacher a gift and ask that preacher, would you just pray for my child? It's an unspoken request. Don't tell him the name. He'll know who we are. Just say, hey, just pray for my child, and we can live like the devil, and it's all going to turn out okay. Nope, the chickens are going to come home to roost. So I hope that you have good friendships because you invest in your friendships. I hope you have good finances. But even if you make a little, I hope you have good finances because you take care of your finances. I hope you have a good family situation because you have time for your kids. You make time for your kids, but you also build that marriage and spend time with your spouse. And I mean, she's your number one, and he's your number one, and it ought to be that way. Just Christ being number one, but they're right there. Have a good relationship and the faith and being obedient to the Lord. God will bless you for it. Okay, be not weary in well doing, for in due season thou shalt reap if we faint not.